Hello and welcome back to the show. Today we're joined by the author of the Sprout book, Doug Evans. He's here to tell us all about the wonders of sprouting. And trust me, after you listen to this interview, you're going to want to implement them into your diet right away. Let's get into it. Doug Evans, it's wonderful to be with you today to talk all about sprouts.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for your interest in sprouting. I know we're just at the beginning of the revolution, so it's great that we're getting to have this conversation now, and you're going to look back and say, oh, we talked to Doug about sprouts in October of 2020.
Yes. And so obviously sprouting is growing in popularity and you're still a pioneer. So that's very exciting. How did you get into health and sprouting?
Well, I started to sprout 25 years ago, but I never took it seriously. It was always a garnish or an accessory or something fun to do. But then, and I'll fast forward today, about 3 years ago, I moved to the Mojave Desert near Joshua Tree. And I had the awakening when I came here was that I was also in a food desert. And there were no health food stores, no vegan restaurants. There was fast food and 7-Eleven. So if I wanted to maintain a healthy lifestyle, I was scratching my head in order to have a farm. It takes weeks or months or years. And that's when sprouting just like came to me. It's like, boom, you could sprout, Doug. And so that was the beginning of that.
Okay, very cool. So tell us, obviously it's awesome that you can grow sprouts wherever you are in the world, but what makes sprouts so special? We've heard along the grapevine about the awesome nutrition in these little plants, but would love to hear it from you. What makes sprouts so incredible?
So there would be no life on this planet without sprouts. And because every seed that gets planted germinates, and then that germination process, it's sprouting. But for the most part, those sprouts turn into mature fruits and vegetables over this week or month or year process. So for most of history, sprouting was just part of nature. And there were some hippies in the 60s that ate alfalfa sprouts. And in some Asian cuisine, they had mung bean sprouts. But for the most part, people either didn't eat sprouts or they were a garnish. And the necessity for me, and I pinch myself because I can't believe that everybody's not sprouting and that everyone wasn't clued into this sprout level consciousness, because sprouts are so amazing. And in 2019 alone, there were 1,500 research papers, peer-reviewed studies in the top journals on broccoli sprouts alone. So the impact and the power of sprouts are the smartest people in the world are aware about sprouts, but they're not hungry. So what happens is they have other sources of eating healthy. They can have salads, they can have vegetables, they can have prepared food. So by and large, there's never been as much of a need as there is today. Because during the global pandemic, people are concerned, where is their food coming from? Where are they getting it? Who's touching it? Going to the grocery store could be dangerous. So that kind of goes into, let me tell you the why about sprouts. Okay, are you interested?
Yes.
For sure.
Okay, so number one, the sprouts themselves can be grown indoors without soil and without sunshine. So the whole thing about needing a green thumb and needing fertilizer and needing starters and greenhouses, unnecessary with sprouts. To sprout, you can literally take a mason jar like this, add This was a quarter cup of French lentils that I put into here. I soaked them in water overnight. And then for the previous 2 days, I would add water and then rinse out the extra water and leave at this 45 degree angle to strain the extra water. And today, now, on the third day, there are these lentil sprouts. And this lentil sprout looks like a regular lentil, except it is alive. So it is growing. So it has the life force within it that you have within you. So it is part of the live nature, which means it's enzymatically rich and it's growing. So if you were to take a half a cup of dried lentils and soak them in the jar and sprout them, on the third day, you have between 1 cup and 1.5 cups of lentils. So voila, it's like magic. You've tripled your yield. You've also, when you sprout a lentil, you double the antioxidant levels. So if there's beta carotene or there's chlorophyll, you double them. And you triple the vitamin C. So a normal lentil does not have vitamin C, because a normal lentil and a normal sprouting seed is a dormant vegetable. So it's alive, but it's in a state of dormancy. But when you soak it and you create this environment that is conducive for growth, it activates and you ignite this germination process. And that germination process is where all of this activity is happening, and the sprout is doubling in size every day. So I think, to me, that was the most fascinating part of the discovery, that you could take these dried beans and seeds and soak them, and within days you have living foods.
That is so cool, and thank you for sharing. I've actually known about sprouts for some time now, and for some reason the idea of making it has seemed overwhelming to me. I don't want to mess it up or do something wrong. But the way you've just described it just sounds so simple. I feel silly for not having done it so far. Are there any pitfalls for those that just want to embark on this straight away? How can you get it wrong? Is it hard to get it wrong?
I mean, the whole thing, just like anything, you need to have the intention, right? So you don't like pop out of the womb and start to run laps around the track. Right? So there is a little bit of a learning process, but it is so simple. You know, when I wrote the book, like, I'll tell you the story for the book.
Yes, we'd love
When I wrote the book, I had never written anything larger than an email in my life, right? I didn't go to college. I wasn't a scholar. I wasn't a good student. But when I wrote the book, it was a challenge for me, because the publisher said, "Doug, we need 60,000 words, 288 pages, and we want X, Y, and Z." And I said, "That feels like a lot." And then I said, "You know what? It's time for me to lean in and take on this challenge, because it's so important for me to document and share what I've learned living in the desert, feeding myself." And as I've said many times publicly, within 30 days, 50% of my calories, of my nutrition, were coming from sprouts that I was growing in 1 cubic foot, the size of a milk crate. I was able to grow a whole, like, 8 cups of lentil sprouts. These are my crunchy sprouts, garbanzo beans, mung beans, peas, right? And then, you know, the winner of all sprouts, you know, is the broccoli sprouts. So amazing that I was able to grow these in like a really small area. And I just kept cycling the jars. And, you know, I started to buy my seeds in these 5 gallon, 5 pound buckets of seeds. And, you know, it was just so easy where the process and the protocols, you take the seed and you soak them. And you soak them overnight, 5 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours overnight. And then you rinse them off. And then twice a day, you hydrate them. And I've done different things to hydrate them. I've put seeds in some cheesecloth and dipped them into water, and that hydrates them. I've taken a spray bottle and I spray them, and that mists them, and that hydrates them. What I find to be the easiest is to put them in the mason jar, swirl them around and strain them. And I'll show you here, I'm just using a dish rack, you know, to hold these things at the angle. And that is my, you know, stand. So with some very simple equipment, right, of glass jars, either cheesecloth to put on the edge or a metal screen to keep the seeds in, that's the sprouting gear. So you really need seeds and water. And there's a chapter in my book called Junkyard Dog. And it's basically how I took anything around the house and I used it to sprout. And things that would normally go into the landfill or the recycle bin, I washed and sterilized, and I start to sprout out of those. So that's it. And so if we go back, sprouts are really simple to sprout. Seeds want to sprout. Like they're not doing you a favor. That's their divine mission, is to sprout. So if you create the environment for them, they will sprout. The second thing is they are nutritionally packed. Like sprouts can have 20 to 100 times the nutrients of mature vegetables because they're in this dormant state. And when they grow, actually, as like, for example, if broccoli grows from a broccoli seed into mature broccoli, certain compounds like the glucoraphanin and the sulforaphane actually get diluted as the plant gets bigger. The other thing about sprouts is because they're young, they're tender. So if you look at a mature piece of broccoli or cauliflower, the roughage is really rough. Like that fiber is rough, and that insoluble fiber is hard to break down, hard to extract the nutrients from it. But when the seeds are very little, you can chew them, you can break them down, you extract the water and the micronutrients, phytonutrients, polyphenols, bioflavonoids, antioxidants, the soluble and insoluble fiber, and this wide array of amino acids. Like garbanzo beans, one cup can have over 20 grams of protein in them. In one cup of sprouted garbanzo beans.
It's incredible.
So cool.
I'm sure the gym junkies are like, I want to get some of those beans.
Yeah. Oh my God. If you think about that, like the idea of taking, like part of the reason why sprouts are good, I believe it's globally accepted that vegetables are good for you. Well, sprouts are vegetables. And I believe that most people would agree that fresh is better than frozen, it's better than canned, and it's certainly better than processed. So if you are that gym rat and you do want a lot of protein, you'd be much better off eating whole food plant-based sprouts that cost pennies a serving, that also contain, with the protein, they contain the fiber and they contain the enzymes, then getting a highly processed, extracted or extruded or isolate of some either plant or dairy protein. So you're much better off with whole food plant-based than some fractional processed food.
Awesome. So what are some of the dangers or potential perceived dangers? Because I'm guessing a lot of people watching this have seen this in their pantry or their cupboard before and freaked out and like, oh, this is going off or something. So Can you just dispel some of those fears or potential fears that someone would have to do this and how safe it is to eat these foods?
Yeah. So I would say in the 60s or 70s, when sprouts became popular, profit came in and people started to sprout and sell them commercially. But because the sprouts are very tender and they're alive, they need to be kept, once they're harvested, they need to be kept refrigerated and they need to have a short shelf life. So if you compromise the refrigeration and things aren't kept cold, then you can have things like mold, right? And mold is not good. But if you're sprouting on your own in your kitchen countertop, and I'm basically not storing sprouts, like I sprout and then I eat. I sprout and then I eat. I don't sprout and store because it's so easy for me to sprout again that I just keep the thing going. So that's one piece of advice. The second thing is that now much more advanced technology and science around food safety. So now we can have seeds where we take the batches of seeds, we soak them, we take the runoff water, and we test the water for E. coli or Listeria or Salmonella or coliform or fecal bacteria, then there's much, much better degrees of control than randomly taking seeds where you could have bird poop or animal poop mixed in and the like. So now it's not just any seeds. If you use seeds, you can now buy in Australia, in the US, in the UK, seeds that have been tested for pathogens.
Excellent.
Wonderful. So you clearly, Doug, consume a lot of this stuff. Have you noticed anything in your own personal health since you started introducing sprouts into your diet?
I mean, I'm 54 years old and I have the best attitude like I've ever had. I have the most energy. I feel good. My skin is clear. I have beautiful bowel movements. So
I love it.
I think that like I will say another downside, just to be really candid. Some of the sprouts, like the legumes, could initiate flatulation. So you could have gas, but the gas will pass. And as you familiarize your microbiome with the variety of sprouts, they'll become more familiar and they'll know how to process that. But it is something that if you go out from eating fast food and McDonald's to eating broccoli sprouts and lentil sprouts, your body may take a little time to figure it out. So you may get a little gassy.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's right. We consume a lot of beans here in the Potts Otto household, and a lot of our friends are like, how do you eat that much? Does your house stink? But it's certainly not the case when your microbiomes adjust, definitely. I have a question. So how do you actually incorporate all of these foods into your diet? Are you eating, do you put your sprouts into salads, or what do you do with them?
So fortunately, we created in the Sprout Book 40 recipes that have soups and smoothies and wraps and even desserts and entrees of what to do with sprouts. So it's fun for me to actually go from, you know, just like downing handfuls of sprouts. Like my primary means, like I'm on the go, I'm running. So I will just, you know, really comfortable and say, oh, I'm just going to eat this and that'll be clear. But if I think about the occasions that people can have sprouts, so you can juice the sprouts, you can blend the sprouts, you can add them to anything that you're eating, whether it's overnight oats or cereal or salad or any sort of wrap or soup. You can pretty much add sprouts to anything. So that's kind of my current mantra. People say, where do I get started? It's scary. I say, look, just make a lot of sprouts, and whatever you're eating, like have it be 95% of whatever you're eating and 5% sprouts, and just add sprouts, add sprouts, add sprouts. And then what you'll find is that you'll start to crave sprouts. And once you start to crave them, then it'll be easy. And now, you know, for me, my diet is I do intermittent fasting. So my feeding window is about noon to 6 p.m. Like that's the feeding window for Doug. So I drink a lot of water. At noon, I live on a ranch in the desert, but we're growing, believe it or not, cucumbers and watermelon and cantaloupes. So my lunch, no breakfast, my lunch is usually a whole watermelon, and then about 45 minutes to an hour later, a whole cantaloupe. And then a little bit later in the afternoon, I'll snack on some sprouts. And then for dinner, I will usually make a big salad that's sprout-centric that has tahini. And that's like that was my day almost to the T today. Like that's what I ate today.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So if someone's wanting to start today, where would you, are there some certain beans or seeds that are easier to start with?
I think French lentils, very easy peasy to grow and sprout. Broccoli sprouts are probably like the winner, the in vogue sprout, because of the glucoraphanin and myrosinase that form sulforaphane. So from a healing perspective and a unique compounds within the cruciferous vegetable family, the broccoli sprouts are really popular. I would say something to try is like the chia. Like chia seeds are really fun. You could just sprinkle some chia seeds on an unbleached paper towel, and you just keep spraying them a few times a day, and then they'll grow up. And the chia is actually omega-3 medium chain fatty acids. So it's really nice to be able to get the combination of the fat and the chlorophyll and the fiber from chia. So I love the activated chia. But I would start with that. I just got these recently. These are hemp seeds. So hemp seeds, great complete source of protein. And those are the hemp seeds with the hull on them.
Got it. Wonderful. So you mentioned sulforaphane before. For those of us who are listening and aren't familiar with sulforaphane, could you tell us a little bit about it and how it impacts the body?
Yeah. So sulforaphane is a compound that's formed when two other compounds come together. And if you think about the plant's protective mechanism, so if a bug bites the plant, the way that the plant will get rid of the bug is by creating something bitter. So what happens is in all cruciferous vegetables, can be the precursor to sulforaphane. The research basically said is out of all of the cruciferous vegetables, broccoli sprouts have the most of sulforaphane. And it turns out that the broccoli sprouts have both glucoraphanin and the enzyme myrosinase. And when you chew them or freeze them or juice them, you break down these two unique pockets and they go together and the fusion and sulforaphane is formed. And sulforaphane, almost like what we were talking about, is the reaction of the plant to the insect. It is the plant's defensive mechanism. And it turns out that can have positive effects in treating cancer cells with sulforaphane. It also, and part of this is there's been a lot of research, but we're really on day one of figuring out the nutritional benefits and the healing benefits of sprouts. Like so much money has gone into so many other things that this is a new topic. And we're seeing more and more research coming from that. But broccoli sprouts in the United States are the number one treatment, not cure, but treatment for autism. So evidently, the sulforaphane triggers the heat shock proteins in men and boys with autism. And however it happens, the heat shock will reduce the active symptoms of autism. So there's a whole culture of mothers in America feeding or wanting to feed their kids broccoli sprouts to help reduce and minimize the risk and the symptoms of their autism.
That's incredible. And what a fantastic thing that we can grow these little little medicine cabinets here on our benches in our kitchens. It sounds so simple and easy and very motivating for us. I don't know if you have this data in your head, but could you compare for us broccoli sprouts to an adult broccoli? What do you know any of the numbers of a direct comparison between the nutrients can be found in each?
Well, here's the thing. If you're eating for food purposes, right, mature broccoli is very satisfying. You can steam it, you could saute it, you can bake it, and it has a lot of volume. So if you look at the journey of broccoli from the seed, one little seed will grow over time into a whole mature piece of broccoli that may weigh a kilo or two. If that broccoli were to continue to grow, it would then flower. And out of that flower, a pod would form with hundreds of broccoli seeds. So if you were asking someone on a nutrition basis, some of the compounds that are in the broccoli seed, as they grow, like the sulforaphane and the glucuraphanin, those will just get diluted as the plant gets bigger. But as the plant gets bigger, you're obviously getting more water content, right? So it's becoming more wet. You're getting more fiber. You're getting more antioxidants. But if you think about if you were to take a carrot shredder and slice off one little bit of the mature broccoli, and compare it to a broccoli sprout, it would be like apples and oranges, because the broccoli sprout is a complete living organism. Whereas if you take a little slice of the mature broccoli, you're getting some fiber, you're getting some vitamin C, you're getting some antioxidants, but you're not getting the complete whole food, if I'm making sense.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. So what are some of the hidden benefits? Like, there's obviously some very publicized benefits, but is there any recent studies that would people not be as aware of? Maybe they've heard of sprouting and they've done it in the 60s and the 70s if they were hippies. What are some of the more recent things that many people may not be aware of the benefits of sprouting?
Do they have Weight Watchers in Down Under there?
Yeah.
So in the Weight Watchers system, sprouts are 0 points. So if you are on Weight Watchers and you want to eat and eat a lot, you can pretty much eat as many sprouts as you want. So if you still want to overeat and you're on Weight Watchers, you can overeat. You cannot overeat sprouts. So
we found a loophole.
Yeah, I think it's a real loophole, because people can easily overeat potato chips or chocolate or ice cream. Sprouts are in such a pure form, and they're so connected to the human as you're eating it, as you're chewing it in digestion, that it's like pure nutrients that I believe when the body has had enough sprouts, it's like you lose the desire to consume more. And one of the things that I learned from Dr. Alan Goldhammer and Dr. Lyle, who wrote the book, The Pleasure Trap, is that most people are addicted to fat, sugar, and salt. So sprouts have some fats, some sugars, and some sodium within, but it's in the natural whole food state. It's only when you take added fat, sugar, and salt that you trigger the dopamine and the serotonin in the brain and causes you to overeat. So it's about getting in touch. So one of the things which is really exciting, which is, I guess, why Sarah, you reached out to me, is because sprouts are magnetic. Like when people hear about them, they learn about them, they're intrigued with them, and the arguments for sprouts are irrefutable. Like, do you drink cold pressed green juice in Australia?
Yep.
Yep.
So I like green juice. You know, juice was a big part of my life. Some people would say, oh, juice is high sugar and low protein and low fiber and don't drink. And I'm like, I think you're thinking of Odwalla, because cold pressed green juice, unsweetened, is relatively low sugar, right? If you're just adding kale and tro and a cucumber, you're not getting a lot of sugar. But nonetheless, there's the perception that juice is high sugar. Well, there's also the perception, which is actually accurate. Sprouts are low sugar, high fiber, high protein, and can actually be high natural fat. So you can have in your chia and in your flax seeds, the omega-3s.
That's excellent. And I think what you're just mentioning is so important, just with so many people addicted to food. And it's like the, I guess, the elephant in the room that no one really likes to talk about, because so many people make so much money out of it, is people literally being so addicted to this sugar, fat, and salt magic combination, which we just gorge on. And I think, wow, what a great substitute if you struggle with that. And I think most of us can put our hands up at some point in our lives and said, yes, we are addicted to some form of food. Then I think get this into your life. I think it could really control some of those hunger cravings and while packing yourself with such amazing nutrients. Before we wrap up, I'd just like to ask,
before we go to that, I just want to kind of give a sprouting tip. Eat your sprouts on an empty stomach and eat as many as you can. And what will happen is the sprouts are so nutritionally rich that your desire to overeat other things will go down. So what I'm recommending to people is just add sprouts to your diet and eat them first, because it's almost like a fire extinguisher can put out a fire, but if there's a little candle and a match, Sarah could go and blow out that little candle. But if that candle ignites and then grows and becomes a fire or a forest fire, it is much harder to contain. So I think if you're able to contain the ego and the desire for food before you start to eat, and you're able to steer yourself or veer yourself into eating sprouts first, you'll feel so good that you ate sprouts that it's almost like the cognitive dissonance would prevent you from eating a whole thing of sprouts and then eating a half a gallon of ice cream. It just doesn't happen. Like if you eat sprouts, you want more sprouts, or you'll eat some vegetables and you'll feel good about yourself. That's it, so Matt. Good. All yours.
Well,
it's hard to follow up after that. That's amazing. I was just going to ask someone that has read your book, or I don't know, within your community that you have, do you have any stories of people that have gone, they've been at X point, they're like, you know, I'm going to try sprouting, and then X, Y, and Z has happened?
Oh my God. I have a great story. I'm going to see if I can find it really quickly, because it's so great. Stephen Fiskell, 30 days of sprouts. Stephen lives in San Francisco, where he recently left his job in technology to pursue a path of personal health. I met Stephen under a waterfall in Bali, where we talked about veganism, and he set an intention to go on a 30-day sprout cleanse. I spoke to him about his super sprout experience. What inspired you to go on a 30-day sprout cleanse? It was time for a hard reset. I had been overweight all my life, and I was looking to build a new relationship with food. One impetus to lose the weight was to get in shape for ultra running, a passion of mine. When I met Stephen, he was 53 pounds overweight. So I don't know what that is in kilos, but it's a lot, right? Maybe 20 kilos, yeah. Right? And I am unapologetically enthusiastic about sprouts. So where in the past, I may not have spoken to someone who was morbidly obese about sprouts because I wouldn't want them to feel uncomfortable. But then I said, that's not honest on my part. Here's a man, we're walking, we're talking, and we had a 5-minute conversation about sprouts. The guy went back to San Francisco and for the next 30 days ate just sprouts. And it's in the book, 2 weeks into it, he ran a full marathon, okay, 26 miles. And he had so much energy after the marathon that he ran home from the marathon another 10K.
Wild story.
And then 2 weeks later, he ran a 50-mile ultra marathon. And his only cheating on sprouts was he would add Tabasco sauce occasionally. So,
well, I don't know if that doesn't inspire
you. You asked for a story.
It's a wild story.
That is a story. If any of us at home were on the fence about sprouts, I'm guessing you're no longer on the fence. That's incredible. What an insane story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much, Doug, for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we wrap?
I want to share the fact that sprouts are super affordable. So if you were to think about a cold pressed green juice in Australia might cost $5 or $7. And if you were to buy all the produce and make it at home, it would still cost you $5 or $7. If you were to go buy sprouts, they will cost you $5. If you buy the seeds, it'll cost you 30 cents or 50 cents. So sprouts are the food equalizer. Like the richest people in the world can afford sprouts and the poorest people in the world can afford sprouts. So the sprouts remove any obstacle economically for people to choose to eat healthy. So it used to be eating organic, being vegan, expensive, blah, blah, blah. But sprouts are inexpensive. And they're simple. So now there's no excuse why everyone can't be eating the highest quality nutrition on a per calorie basis for pennies a serving with the convenience of their own home.
Beautiful message. And I guess the environmental impact as well is so low.
Holy cow. Oh my God. Speaking of cows, it takes 7,000 gallons of water to prepare 1 pound of beef, because you're watering all that grain and all that corn and feeding the cow over the multi-year period, 7,000 gallons of water. To prepare 1 pound of sprouts takes less than 7 gallons of water. So it's 1,000 to 1 less resources to prepare 1 pound of sprouts.
So cool. And I'm sure there's so many more questions people might have around sprouts. So we would highly recommend you grab your book. You just want to hold it up so people can see again.
The Sprout Book by Doug Evans.
Get it. Where is it available, Doug?
It's in Australia and Booktopia and Amazon, and pretty much in the United States wherever books are sold. And I have to say, I'm very proud. I'm not proud of too many things. The book is in its fifth printing already.
Yes.
Came out in April. It's in its fifth printing. Buy the book, review the book, follow me on Instagram. Today I just posted my dinner, which was, no surprise, a sprout salad, right? So I'm sharing information, and like I think everyone would benefit from eating sprouts.
Wonderful. So for our viewers at home, that book is called The Sprout Book, and you can follow Doug on his Instagram, which is at Doug Evans. Nice and simple. Thank you so much, Doug, for joining us today and getting us thoroughly excited about doing our own sprouting. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care, guys. Thank you.